And joining us now is James Moore, who's the author of The Architect, Karl Rove and the Dream of Absolute Power, Bush's War for Re-election, and the co-author with Wayne Slater of the best-selling Bush's Brain, How Karl Rove Made George W. Bush Presidential, and the author of Bush's War for Re-election. He's an Emmy Award-winning television news correspondent and has traveled extensively with every presidential campaign since 1976, and his latest book on Texas Governor Rick Perry is Adios Mofo, Why Rick Perry Will Make America Miss George W. Bush. Welcome to Background Briefing, James Moore.
Good to be with you, Ian.
And the subtext to the drama that's going on now in Texas, where I believe tomorrow the Texas Senate will pass this restrictive anti-abortion bill, which will effectively shut down the state's abortion clinics and force women to go to the much more expensive surgical centers, which are represented by Governor Perry's sister. She's the biggest lobbyist for United Surgical Partners that run hospitals and surgical centers co-owned by doctors across the state. So this is pretty blatant, isn't it?
Well, you know, there's cause and there's effect. And the question is always, in Texas, is there a connection between the two? And of course, you know, the Perry team would argue that this is strictly coincidental, and that happens to be who her client is. And if the abortion clinics are shut down, then what you're looking at is the fact that most of the women who get abortions at that time are going to end up having to have that procedure performed at an ambulatory surgical center. It's the only qualified facility at that point. And yes, Rick Perry's sister happens to represent the largest organization of those surgical centers. So will they benefit? It sure looks like it. But the people who will suffer the most, as is often the case, will be poor women who have no health insurance and who have no access to this kind of prenatal procedure. They are the ones who won't have anywhere to go.
But the anti-abortion bill that Perry is selling, and he's, after all, trashed Senator Wendy Davis for the filibuster and for her lifestyle choices, even though most people admire what she has managed with her life. He's appeared before the Right to Life people only recently. So he's wrapped himself in piety, and all of the arguments in the Senate and the House in favor of this abortion bill are entirely wrapped in Christian fundamentalist dogma. So is anybody talking about how there's a double blessing here for the Perry family? They get both piety and profits at the same time?
Yeah, isn't it a wonderful thing when it works out that they get both at the same time? You know, people are aware of her clients, and they're aware of the potential benefit for her clients. And, you know, if you are going to be a lobbyist in the state of Texas, there's nobody better to have for a brother than a guy who is the governor of the state. Yeah, and you can bring it up, but it gets dismissed. Now, there are a lot of animated people here in Austin now that didn't exist, Ian, prior to this event. And in many ways, you've seen what's happened here is a kind of awakening of a sleeping giant. Senator Wendy Davis, who did the filibuster, has launched a statewide bus tour, and she is just drawing huge crowds in the major cities and is firing up women, the Capitol galleries. You know, I was a reporter in that building for 22 years, and I'd never seen the Capitol galleries jammed like they have been over this. And there is a political activism and a progressive hope in this state now that frankly didn't exist before Perry went out and went crazy on this issue.
Well, but isn't the other two that are going crazy are the ones that are the current lieutenant governor, who really apparently is the real power there in that state, and his rival? Haven't they brought this about because they're both trying to be more a Christian than the other in terms of pandering to the Christian right?
Well, what happens in Texas is this is a place where The crazier you are for the primary, the better off you are as a candidate. So when the Tea Party first began to flex its political muscles in this state, people like Senator Kay Bailey Hutchison, who was running for governor against Rick Perry, stayed away from them, thought they were crazy. And Perry saw what was happening, and he ran way over to the edge, the right-hand edge of the flat earth, to meet those guys. And he has since embraced every single radical idea that they have. And you know, he proposed in 2010 through the Republican platform to make gay marriage in this state a Class C felony that would have been punishable by 5 to 10 years in prison. And that would have been for anybody who tried to get gay married or any city or county or local official who tried to perform a gay marriage. And so now they all know that that's the way that you get elected and you win a primary. So the lieutenant governor, who, as you said, has most of the power in this state, and the people who are going to run against him, namely Senator Dan Patrick, who makes Rick Perry, by the way, look like a liberal, are trying to get the same attention that Perry got from those groups, especially now that Perry is more or less abdicating his throne for the election in 2014.
And what planet is Perry on? Didn't he notice, and didn't the people in Texas notice his meltdown when he ran in the Republican presidential primary, where he simply was, to the a national audience, appallingly dim-witted?
I think that he's hoping for a rebirth, and I think that, you know, his deciding not to run is a product of a number of things, but public policy polling, which is a sort of Democratic-leaning poll group here in Texas, found that only 26% of the population thought he should run again. And in fact, Hillary Clinton was outpolling him in Texas, and most of the people wanted Senator Ted Cruz, who is, in my estimation, crazier and more radical than Rick Perry, wanted him to run for president. So I think Perry saw that. And the other thing he saw was that if he's got any chance at running as a viable presidential candidate, he's got to spend some time rebranding himself. And I suspect he's going to join up with the Texas Public Policy Foundation, which is a conservative think tank, and try to learn how to hold three items in his head at one time. He will raise money for candidates in the midterm elections, and will hope that they will again do the same thing for him in 2016. And he just wants to see if he can take another shot at it. This is a guy who, Ian, frankly, he likes his lifestyle. He likes living in a big mansion. He likes traveling on planes with security and an entourage, and he likes, double-dipping on a retirement pension and a salary. And, you know, he's got it great in Texas, but being president's even cooler. So, you know, he's gonna make another run at it.
Well, just in closing, then, Jim Moore, tell me, you mentioned that Ted Cruz is a rising star, and give me the impression that the state is moving so far to the right you'll need a telescope to see it. And then at the same time, you're talking about an awakening amongst women. You've never seen anything like it. Wendy Davis and all the women are now fired up, and then there may well be a progressive and liberal awakening. So sort that out for us, if you will, just in the last
minute.
Well,
I think what's happened is that the left, the base on the left, has awakened in the way the Tea Party awakened the base on the right. But what's happened is, with the awakening of the left, I think a lot of women have silently resolved that they are not going to vote for a white male who is trying to restrict abortions. And that's turning into a broader base of support. At least that's the early indications, and that's my analysis. Frankly, I think if Wendy Davis chose to run for governor and announce tomorrow, I think she could raise $50 million from around the country in a month. The question is whether she will do it or not, and whether she's going to take that opportunity. But she's beginning to feel a huge obligation to keep this kind of thing going.
And Ted Cruz is obviously, even as a freshman, he's thinking of running for president, right?
Yeah, Ted Cruz is going to run, which is a patent absurdity to me, but he's going to do it. And, I mean, we have to bear in mind, this is a man who thinks that President Obama wants to get rid of golf courses in the United States and wants to get rid of paved roads as part of Agenda 21 with the United Nations and has a secret deal to destroy America and doesn't think that there should be any kind of social programs, wants to get rid of the military. This guy is as radical a person has ever been elected the United States government from the state of Texas. And my friend, that is saying something.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with James Moore, who's the author of The Architect, Karl Rove and the Dream of Absolute Power, Bush's War for Re-election, and the co-author with Wayne Slater of the best-selling Bush's Brain, How Karl Rove Made George W. Bush Presidential, and the author of Bush's War for Re-election. He's an Emmy Award-winning television news correspondent who has traveled extensively with every presidential campaign since 1976, and his latest book on Texas Governor Rick Perry is Adios Mofo, Why Rick Perry Will Make America Miss George W. Bush. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about Christian Nation.
The stars at night are big and bright. Deep in the heart of Texas, the prairie sky is wide and high. Deep in the heart of Texas, the coyotes wail along the trail.